Morning. What an appropriate song to sing the Sunday after Thanksgiving. Forget not all his benefits. And it is great to be here today. Let me just turn my clicker on. And it's fantastic to be together to worship the Lord and to be together. So we're going to do a second part of our series on how to biblically and practically increase our faith. But before that, I just wanted to show a picture here. I have a clicker that works here, by the way. Last weekend, a few of us had a chance to be out of town, and so myself, Mary Ellen, Cameron were down in Chicago at the Hope Worldwide Global Summit, and there were over 650 people from around the world that gather that are passionate about meeting needs in our world and doing incredible things through the power of God. So as you can see there, there's Mary Ellen there. She had a great time there, came away with deep convictions, inspired, made a bunch of new friends from all over the world. I did try and find her some brothers from other parts, but that didn't work out too well. The one I had in mind was dating, and I was like, oh my goodness, God has a plan, right? And then Cameron was able to share a whole bunch of campus and high school students about having pure motives in how we serve and why we serve and do things like that. And then I had the easiest job at all because I got an opportunity to get in front of a bunch of people. I was asked to, because what we're doing here in Halifax and what we're doing across Canada is really a model that inspires so many people. So I had the easy job. I got up the chance to share about you and the volunteers that you are and the things that you do to lean in and serve and meet needs in your community. So thank you for your service. And literally, the volunteerism of the Halifax Church is known literally all over the world. So you are to be commended for your hearts in that regard. So great weekend, but that was kind of a segue because last weekend I heard that we got a chance to get up and share about something we're thankful for. So I just wanted to take this opportunity to go over to Marty and Rita and say thank you for all that you do. And so to give you this little gift there. That burlap bag, when you go to a trade show or a conference, often you'll get a bag that gets handed out and you know, to put things in. They were made by tsunami victims at a rehabilitation center that a clinic in Hope, India runs. And so the bags that we purchased for the conference will allow 8 families to buy food for a month. And so just, you know, building in programs and things like that that get to help in that way. So, again, thank you for being here, for all you do to serve the church. I wasn't here last week, and so now my time starts for my lesson. So, anyway, moving right along. So if you remember, 2 weeks ago we got together and we were able to chat about, one of the practical ways to increase our faith was to remember past victories. And as David remembered the bear and the lion when he went up against Goliath, he was able to go and gather 5 smooth stones and he was able to face that because he knew God would deliver him and what God had done. And so, the homework that we had was to be able to go back and think about, it didn't have to be 5. David only needed 1 stone. Let's not be legalistic here. It's like, oh, Greg, I only came up with 4. Am I okay? Yes, you're okay. Maybe he came up with 12, but did we have a chance to do that? Have we had a chance, a great opportunity to share with one another what God has done in our lives and encourage one another and build up our faith and use that opportunity to inspire one another? So today I want to talk about another way that we can practically and biblically increase our faith. In fact, you really can't do that without digging deeper into the Word and digging deeper into the Bible and what it has to say. So we all know Romans chapter 10. Amazing scripture that talks about how we can use the Bible. Dig deeper into God's Word to build our faith. Romans chapter 10. Do my little scenic view there. In verse 14, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the word, hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. You know, we see here that not everyone accepted the good news. And if you're anything like me, if you're out, you're trying to share your faith with your friends, not everyone is overjoyed about the concept of church. Everyone is overjoyed about the concept of the standards that Jesus talks about. And that could be a little depressing from time to time. But you know, God is looking for, and He wants us to be looking for, good-hearted people, open-hearted people. And when we find them, God wants us to get them into His Word. The process of growing our faith never stops as long as we are listening to and hearing the Word of God. So when we look at our Bibles here, and I'm just going to borrow Alan's for a second here. I'll give it back, I promise. Is our mindset of this is a Bible, or do we view this as the Word of God? You know, and these are questions I ask myself. I mean, do I tremble anymore at God's Word? Am I in awe of God's Word? Do I hunger for God's Word? You know, we all know it's in the pages of the Scriptures that we see the heart, the character, and the promises of God. And we can use His Word as a lens. You know, God can, you fill in the blanks. God wants to, you fill in the blanks. Therefore, God will fill in the blanks. You know, Scripture we looked at 2 weeks ago, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, confidence in what we hope. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. You know, where does this confidence and this assurance come from? It comes from the Word of God. So I'm going to give the homework at the end, but one little assignment here is for all of us to think and reflect on the verses, the passages that are our favorites. We all have our favorites. Everyone has a favorite Scripture. Some of us have several favorite Scriptures. But to find those and call them, if you want, call them power verses or whatever, but to remember and think about those things that get us really excited about God's Word. No, we'll get onto that in a minute here. So if I think about my own life, Ephesians chapter 1, for He chose us to be adopted. This here is a copy of my adoption papers. That's a sermon for another day. But anyway, that is one of my favorite Scriptures because I can remember because I appreciate what my parents did for me in adopting me. Who knows where my life would be if I wasn't adopted in the family I was and how God used that. But in the same way, all of us who are Christians have been adopted. And thinking about our lives if we hadn't become Christians. Thinking about our lives if we hadn't been open to the intervention of God in our lives and doing a course recorrection. Thinking about that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. For I am able to do all things through Him who strengthens me. Another one of my favorite prayers. I'm just sharing these as examples of what stimulates you. What are your favorite verses to think about? Another way is to look at the verses in another translation. You go on websites, you can click down literally hundreds of different translations of the Bible in English and multitude of languages here. The NIV, the Holman Christian Standard Bible, the CEV, the NET. If you speak another language, read the Bible in your native language and let those words come alive to you there. I do not speak another language, so I'm limited in that. So, we can practically and biblically grow our faith by digging deeper into the Word and putting the effort in and really letting that Word really grow in our hearts and increase our faith. You know, another way that we can biblically and practically increase our faith is to pray for more. Beautiful picture of the sky, the Halifax skyline. A couple weeks ago, we were going to midweek over in Dartmouth, and Nancy and I decided we'll take the ferry. You know, I took my wife on a romantic boat cruise that night on our way to, for the mere cost of a transit ticket. And I got a transfer so we could come back for the same price. I was very fired up about that. But anyway, the sun was setting across the city. It was a beautiful night. And also just I put that up because we need to pray for our city too. But just to be reminded of that. With all that lights, the glitter, there's a lot of hurt and pain that resides within the walls of our city. And to remember to pray for our city. But another biblical and practical way to increase our faith is to pray for more. Turn with me to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 17. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit who has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashing his teeth and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "O unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It often throws him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw a crowd running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit, "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never, ever enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked like so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. The disciples had tried everything. You know, earlier on in the Gospel of Mark, Peter, James, and John had just seen Jesus transfigured with Elijah and Moses. They'd literally come off a mountaintop experience with God. You'd think their faith would be riding a little on the high side. They had seen Jesus feed 4,000 and heal a blind man at Bethsaida in Mark chapter 8. They had seen Jesus heal a young girl who was demon-possessed and a deaf-mute in Mark 7. So there was a demon possession they had already seen Jesus deal with. In Mark 6, Jesus had given them authority over impure spirits, and they drove out many demons and healed many sick people. They'd already done this. But this one had them stymied. So what does Jesus do? "Bring the boy to me. I'll take care of it." And of course he says to the Father, "If you can, I mean, this is I created the world. If I can drive out this." The boy's father asked Jesus, "Help me overcome my unbelief." Imagine the father, distraught. He's dealt with this his entire life. He doesn't know what to do. Maybe he's pulled his hair out. Maybe he's gone to doctor. Who knows what he's done? But you can tell that this is he says, "Listen, I'm at my wit's end. Just please, help me overcome my unbelief." You know, given the one wish that he had, he's in front of Jesus, God in the flesh, and he has one wish: help me overcome my unbelief. You know, given one wish, what would we ask for? Do we believe enough to ask for more faith? You know, God loves when we ask for things that he wants to give us anyway. Parents, think about Christmas time. And you know what the kids want, and you're secretly going, "It's already been arranged." Notice I didn't say anything else. This message is being taped. It's going to be on the internet. I don't want to ruin Christmas for a generation there. But as parents, we get excited when we're able to fulfill the wishes our children already are asking for. And we're imperfect. We're lacking in love. We fall short. Imagine how God must feel sitting up there going, "I want them to ask for this. I want to give it to them. I want to pour this out into their lives. If they'll just ask me." God loves it when we ask for things that he wants to give us anyway. And I'm not talking about, you know, "God, I want the winning numbers for the lottery." Hey, I've asked for those things before. When we've been like scrambling financially and we've been at our wits' end and trying to figure things out, what God's willing, and I like the $2 and I'm, "God, please, you could do it. You control everything." Obviously, God didn't want to give that to me. You know, I entered a contest recently that was for, I could win a million Aeroplan miles. That means basically a million miles to buy tickets and all that kind of stuff. That could be used for so much good. And I answered, I said, God, if this is your will, I didn't win. Lynn, we could have flown first class around the world. I could have taken you every lounge around the world. You would have loved it. Anyway, but the story there between Lynn and I and the executive privileges I get from time to time. But God wants to give us things that we want anyway. Given one thing, what would we ask for? Luke chapter 22, beginning is 31. That wheat looks pretty dry, which reminds me how dry my throat is becoming. You know, a lot of us might fully appreciate this analogy. I had to do a little bit of reading on it, and this story really, not an analogy. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you all, sift all of you as wheat. But I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Oh, Simon. Jesus talks to him and he says, Simon, Simon. Says his name twice. It's like, okay, I want you to listen. Okay, I'm saying your name twice. He says that Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. And I don't know if we know what sifting wheat is like. It's a violent activity. It's not a, okay, I'm going to take the wheat and the chaff and I'm just going to, there we go, I'm going to caress it a little bit and it'll all just separate. I mean, you're whipping it, you're throwing it, you're doing all that stuff to separate the wheat from the chaff. You know, Jesus could have, when Satan came to ask him, he could have said, no, I won't let you. You can't sift my people. He didn't do that, though. He asked, but he said, I prayed for you instead. And I prayed that your faith would not fail. See, in that situation, Jesus could have said, no, Satan, stay back. Kind of like what God said when he created the waters. He goes, this far you may go and no further. God has the ability to do that with Satan, but he didn't do that. He asked that I said, instead, I'm going to pray for you. You know, Satan has asked Jesus to sift us as well. And he is sifting some of us really violently right now. Maybe that describes your week. You feel like I'm really being sifted here. This is really hard. You know, some of us might be a little wounded. You know, Satan's trying to sift me in my life right now. And sometimes it's very challenging. Because he's sifting and it's violent. And it hurts. Peter was sifted. He denied Jesus. Not once, not twice, but three times. Yet, he comes back. Acts chapter 2. First message, gospel message of the New Testament church. And then he writes 1st and 2nd Peter. 1st Peter really been all about faith. I think Jesus' prayers worked in his life. If Jesus asks for increased faith for one of his closest friends, I think it's rather obvious that we should be asking the same thing for ourselves and for our friends as well. You know, that person in your life, that friend that you're trying to help spiritually, and you'd be getting frustrated, maybe you're getting wearisome, whatever. Just imagine how Jesus felt about Peter sometimes. I mean, the thing that kills me about the denial is the third time it says Jesus looked him in the eye. Could you imagine that, being Peter? Jesus looks you in the eye and even the rooster crows. I mean, it just all becomes really clear. You told me, I said, oh no, I'll never deny you. Isn't that what all of us said on our baptism? Oh, I'll never deny you. I'm going to be solid as a rock. And then, not once, not twice, and one time, calling down curses, I don't know the man. And then he makes eye contact with Jesus as the rooster crows. Oops. But you know, maybe we have someone like that in our lives that we're trying to help. Could that person become the next Peter? Or Peterette, or whatever the female version of it. Work with me, okay? Petra, there we go. Thank you. Satan will sift us. And we need to be prepared for that. And that's another lesson in and of itself. But as the sifting's going on, are we praying for our own faith? Are we asking for more faith? Or are we praying for our friends that are going through spiritual times as well? So two weeks ago, I called it homework. So some of us could hate the word homework, students amongst us. Oh no. So here's a way to take it home and make the scriptures practical. And I put a little picture of, you know, a computer and some espresso there. Maybe that'll get us excited about doing our stuff that we're going to take home. So digging deeper into the Word, you know, some practical ways that we do this. List out our favorite power verses, that about God, that get us excited about Him. You know, try reading those verses in another translation. If we speak another language, try that as well. And you guys probably have dozens more ways and things to do that to make, you know, really capture those. You know, for the old school amongst us, maybe you want to write them on a 3x5 card. Glenn? 3x5 cards. Yeah, I guess I got a bunch at home. Dave, you've got some. Lynn's got one. We remember those. The 3x5 cards. I don't know what that is in metric, but those were inches, so you guys can do the math. So, but anyways, great way to write out. That's whatever works. Maybe put them in your iPhone. Make an app for it. So in praying for more, you know, pray daily this week for your own faith. That you would have greater faith. And then look around in the fellowship, look around our friends, and pick someone whose faith needs praying for as well. If you can't think of anyone, feel free to put my name on the list. But then pray for that person daily. It doesn't have to be one person, it could be several people. But you know, Jesus says, I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith would not fail. Let's pray for one another. You know, as we get ready for communion, this is an opportunity to remember Jesus. And of course, the biggest thing that he did was to go to the cross for us. You know, a passage we looked at earlier was Romans chapter 10. It talks about, you know, the good news. And of course, the good news is the gospel and Jesus going to the cross. And in that, just to think about, and where do we read about the cross? In the scripture, it all ties together. But the good news, just think about the privileges for those of us who had an opportunity to accept the good news. And for those of us that had a chance to respond to the good news. As we remember the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus on the cross, Josh is going to lead us in a communion prayer. Thank you.